not already there. Desperate for God's presence, desperate for situations that each of us are facing, and for God to intervene, and also for people who are lost. Man, there's so many people like zombies. They're just not even aware of what's going on. Every day they live, and they're just whipping down the streets, or they're walking here, and they're looking at their phones, not looking at anybody, or they're just like, there's like a deadness in society, you know? And we know that there are, and I'm not giving any grace or any privilege to Satan at all, but we know that he's out there trying to do his best with his recruits, speaking curses and all kinds of stuff. But we know there's God's people, that there's not a curse that can lay a hold of us. But there are people who are cursed, and there are curses that have been placed over this city. But I tell you what, when the anointing of God hits, when the anointing of God hits, and we're faithful and we're desperate, God, I don't want this. I know it's wrong. And the scripture begins to come out, and you start to see that this is wrong. The attitudes of people are wrong. They're hurting. They're broken. And their eyes are blinded by the very one who's causing all of this. But God's given us his grace. He's given us the power of his word and his anointing that lives within us to do something about the situations. So there was something this morning, too, that I thought of. It's like when Jesus was dying on the cross and he died, and then in his resurrection, I heard the word injection. God injected his spirit into Christ to make that explosion come out and raised him from the dead, because God can't die. Death cannot hold God down. Jesus was God. He created this whole thing. And he stepped out of the tomb and ascended just exactly the way it was foretold. And on that day that happened, today we can rejoice because we got an injection of God's Spirit that makes every single one of us brand new creations and causes us to be those who used to have a lifestyle doing this and caught up in this and our eyes blinded. And now, behold, my eyes have been cleansed and I can see. I can see. I'm not groping around anymore. And as Satan tries to make things real dark, I have the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. No wonder why the psalm says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. You're struggling this morning? Well, there's the lamp and the light of Almighty God. It's his glory. That's the glory before he created the sun that lit this place up. That's the glory that lives. He lives within us. And this morning, as we partake of these simple elements, Jesus said, as oft as you do it in remembrance of me. So, Lord, this morning we want to thank you so much for your faithfulness, Lord. I know we do this over and over again, Lord, but we can make it brand new, Lord God. It's just like a relationship, Lord God, of a couple that can't wait to see each other. And when they see each other, Lord God, there's all the fizzies and all the doodahs. But Lord God, we want to thank you, Lord Jesus, that today we can stand before you and we remember you, Lord God, for all that you've done. And we have those feelings inside, Lord God, that you rekindle. And we cause you to do that, Lord God, because we want you, more of you in our lives. And we thank you, Lord God, that we've got the better end of the deal. We have eternal life through the blood and the brokenness of the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for that today. Let's take both of these together. Take this first and then have the cup afterwards. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord Jesus, this morning for the word as it goes forth. And Father, we pray that the simple messenger that stands before you, Father, that you would receive the glory, and also, Lord God, that you have the power to change each of us, Lord God, the things that we're facing, the things that we're going through. And we have the victory, for we're more than conquerors, Lord, in Jesus Christ. And all the saints said, amen. Glory. Everybody happy this morning? Do you love the person next to you? Yeah? That's good. Behind you, in front of you. Thank you, Ken. Steve. Well, can you believe that Christmas is just about here? My goodness, man. And after Christmas, what comes? Easter. And all the frillies that the climate that nations create to get things sold and sale and Harvey Norman here and this over here and all these different sales, man. And they use the seasons that are the tops of what the epitome of what God has done. But we're not going to talk about that this morning. But Christmas is here. And, you know, we just want you to know, too, like there's a couple weeks before, you know, the Christmas message does come. Pastor Miranda will be sharing that message this year. But we just want you to know how blessed we have been for all of you in your support to the church and especially what God is doing in your lives, man. You can't put it down in a book. You can't put it down in words. But I tell you what, it's etched in our hearts. And I know even more so that it's etched in the heart of God. What every single one of you guys and those that are not here this morning, what you have been doing and allowing God to make the changes in you. That's not easy. That's giving things up. That's becoming a sacrifice. That's following after Christ. And when you follow after Christ, you become and you start looking like Him, the things that you do. Amen? I want to look like Jesus, man, not with a beard, because my wife will let me have one. I tried once, and it didn't work. A long time ago, when we first got married, I had a nice thick mustache and thick beard, and it didn't work. I can't kiss you. I don't like the scratchiness, and nah, nah, nah. And if you're going to kiss me, you got to shave it. Well, off it went. Oh, my goodness. So it's not that I envy people with beards, but I just can't grow one. I can grow one, a big one, a thick one, but I just don't have the permission to. So. Oh, the persecution, thank you, Lord. Oh, man, I tell you, it's good. Praise God. But we want you to know that we love you so much. And, you know, whatever God has and whatever God is doing, his plan always works. And it's in process now of working. Praise God. Last week I started a message which I did not finish. So part two today, the new man, not the mirror man, but the new man. And just to recap, last week we talked about what the Word of God says. Take a look at a couple of scriptures this morning just to recap on a few things. This is what the Word of God says about life in Him. Therefore, if it's a choice a person has to make, God has presented Himself as the Lamb that was slain, but people have to choose to receive a gift. And the gift that God sent was Jesus. The perfect Lamb. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the Anointed One, and His anointing, he is a new creation. The old things have passed away. You have become something brand spanking new you never were before inside. Not your body. It's not the kind of creams you're using on your face or whatever you're trying to do to dress up to make yourself look young or whatever. You can try those things that work for a while, but then they don't work at all the older you get. Now, all things The beauty about this, too, of becoming a new creation is we're introduced to something we could never do or be before. Now, all things are of God, so he's the creator, who has reconciled or redeemed or brought back or made to be at peace to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of that reconciliation. We could not do that before we were born again. We did not have the power within us to create another man of God or woman of God. But because of the presence of God in this temple, because we made that decision for Christ, because we are in Christ, that same power that was in Christ that raised him from the dead is the same power that raised us from our deadness in sin and trespasses and caused us to be reared up in the face of the devil above all that he's planned to destroy us, above all the things that the world can throw at us. We are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. And he's given us the power to reconcile. You know what that means? Making someone come back and be at peace with God. Not just ourselves, what who we are, because we want to make a friend with someone. That's nice. But what we're talking about is having the ability and the power of God to work in and through yourself, your temple, that when you meet someone, it may not be the first time, like our brother here, there's a sequence of things that you go through that you're building a bridge that eventually is going to cause them to look to Christ and be born again in Christ and have that same ministry that he's given all of us, the ministry of reconciliation. So we see that, you know, verse 17 says, all in Christ are new creations. Something old, it's not something old. No, we're not talking about something old is gone. Something old, how many people like to, I know I'm not going to say furniture because some people like to buy furniture, but how many people here like to buy old shoes? Any hands? Old socks? You know, we're laughing at that. Old shirts that have pit stains. Old, of course, they have jeans today that have holes all over the place. But old clothes? An old jacket that's all muddied up and it's got sweat stain on it? No. You know, sorry? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, look at, we're all going, but sometimes we let that old man come up and that's the smelly old man. And I like the way Jesse Duplantis a long time ago, he was talking about keep that man in the casket and keep all the nails down. And he says, sometimes we just sort of like we can see the casket lid coming up of the old man trying to rise up. Just keep the nails down by the word of God on that casket. Don't let him come out anymore because he stinks. He's dead. And people don't want to look at who here wants to be around smelly people? If I can just say this the right way, This past week, I saw a young black fella that was walking across, and I saw him, there was months ago when we first moved to where we are. He was walking across the street from Chico's on our side. We were going up into the city to the mall. And he had straggly hair, dreadlocks, just unkempt. When he walked by, I just sort of looked at him. I thought, God. And he stunk. Well, I saw him going past the mound to the area where the playground is, and then he went off to the beach just on the other side of the road, and he had a hood on. I could tell. I recognized him by the way he walked. I just got the snack of, I don't know. And the way he was walking, but he had this hood over his face, and he was just walking all covered up, and it was warm. I'm thinking, shame. God, he's in the dark. He's living a baseness, man. He's lost. He's blinded to what Satan's doing to him. I asked God there, I says, I almost went out, but we were just, I forget what we were doing. And I kept on looking at him, watching him. And I just prayed, Lord, give me another opportunity. It's the second time I've seen him. I want a third one because I'm gonna tackle him with the gospel. I want to love this kid into the community. I don't know how old he is. He's not real old, but he's not old. I want to tackle him for Jesus. I want to put the gospel into this kid. I want to see a change. You know why? Because in that kid, in that young fella, he's not a kid, in that young fella, there's the potential of all that God has, and he doesn't have it yet. And I want him to have it because Jesus says, I want him to have it more than you do. So there's a person coming up that, I'm going to keep on praying that that happens and it's going to take place. But the resurrection in Christ, we all have the Christ's resurrection power flowing in and through us. And in us, we have the ability to go beyond the ordinary things. Remember before you got saved, we were just ordinary people thinking ordinary thoughts, and this is the way life is. And when we do this, and we go here, and we go there, we go on holidays, or we do this, or we get a business, or we get a job, and we go to school, everything is to the ordinary, because that's all we know. That those are our guidelines for life. But when we're in Christ, those guidelines are stripped away. And there's something that takes place within our spirit man that causes our eyes to be opened to the things of the supernatural. And so we're for the first time, we're able to see, like, we start getting ideas, we start creating things, we start supernaturally seeing things, we start getting supernatural remedies for things, not only in ourselves, but other people, and they come right from the Spirit of God. I like the way Sid Roth says, where it's natural to be supernatural. That's everyday living. You know, our brother says that they come from the normal Christian life. The normal Christian life should be one of everyday signs, wonders, and miracles. Dinner bell. Marilyn Hickey says that it's the dinner bell that goes off that causes people to look where the dinner bell is going off. A miracle has just taken place. A miracle of one's salvation, what they've come out of, what God has done, cleaned them up, and the miracle of a healing, a miraculous healing where the doctors have even thrown up their hands and said, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say to you. I have no remedy for what you're going through. Well, that's nice. He had all that training. And thank God for them. But if he's had all that training, that she's had all that training, well, I need answers. But you know something? God has all the answers in his word and in through his spirit. If we believe that signs and wonders and miracles, the supernatural will take place. The old man, it says, and let's take a look at another verse of scripture. 1 Corinthians, Paul cautions us not to live as mere men. Ordinary men and women of God. It says here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3, you are still carnal. And he's talking to Christians. You're still carnal, for where there are envy, and it's multiplicity because this is there are, envy, strife, one of the two worst killers in a relationship or anything that causes division in people with others. Envy, strife, divisions among you, are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? If you have any of those things working in you, then we need to deal with those. Who here is still dealing with some of that stuff? Because it comes sometimes in drips and drabs. Sometimes it comes through the irrational situations that of circumstances that life throws us into a frenzy, and all of a sudden we've got these things that we're looking at, and it may not be strife, it may not be envy, but it's something that's not of the Spirit. And so it's not the way Christ would walk that causes us to have that tension of feeling like, I know I'm doing wrong. So it's back to the drawing board. It's I don't know about you, but I get desperate all the time. Every day I'm desperate. Every day I make a mistake, but every day I'm desperate. And that's all God's looking for, is just the hard attitude. Like, God will take care of myself. Chill out, son. He says, just chill out and listen sometimes. You know, sometimes we can be talking and praying and blabbing up a storm before God and calling down hellfire and brimstone on strongholds and stuff like that. and we're talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking and talking over our situations about what we're missing and what why it's not working on, da-da-da-da. And Lord, can't you see? And he wants to, it's just like saying, shut up! Just listen. I've got something to say now. Have you ever felt that when you're praying? Spending time before God? We're people who like to talk, but we have to become good listeners if God is going to be able to do something with us. A sign of a good psychologist is they are a good listener. Praise God. What else do I have here? We're moving on. So the old man, to live as mere men, it's the old man. Dead in our trespasses. We're dead in our power to live, to do the supernatural. A mere man doesn't care for anyone except he or she for themselves. They just care about themselves. Or they're so, they're an expert. They expect too much in life. They expect so much that they're not able to do it and never reach that goal because they're not able to do it because it takes a supernatural ability to do something like what they're looking at. But then also, people who are mere people don't expect much because they don't think that much about themselves. Just a mere man. And they're following all these different things of the list of things that they're inflicted with, envy and strife and all and the whole lot. They don't think that they can affect the world, a mere person. They don't think that they can influence the world around them. Or, on the other side of that coin, they think that they're God's gift to the world and not really giving God any glory because they don't know God. But everything they do is to get the glory for themselves. I've done this and I've done that. And they can stand there with a new book and say, have somebody even say something, well, I wrote this, and they have this look like humility. Is it really? No, it's not. I did it. They get the glory. But a man or woman of God, has this capacity within them to do supernatural things and bring supernatural thoughts out that will affect others, and they don't want any of the glory at all. God has to get the glory for what he's done. They live lives that don't ever become great sometimes, a mere person. But, the beautiful part about looking at the contrast between a mere man and what a Christian is, born again in Christ, is the fact that Jesus came to pick up and pluck up man out of the kingdom of darkness. Before you and I were born again, we groped around. We thought we knew stuff, and we had certain guidelines. Like in Vanuatu, we had the lights off one time it was not like this. It was just thatched roof and pews. But we're just going around in the dark like this. And I told the story before. And I had, from the youngest all the way to the eldest, I gave the young kid a torch. And I says, now turn all the lights off again. And I says, I want you, little fella, just a little tiny, beautiful little kid like that, I want you to go around the building. And all of them followed this little kid because he knew where he was going. There's people in the world that have no idea where they're going. And the reason why sometimes, and it happens often, especially when we're doing things for Christ, a person will come up to you and say, I don't know what it is about you, but it seems as you know where you're going. What is it? Why are you acting the way you are acting? Because I'm not groping. You learn to walk in the light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ facing situations. You're walking in the supernatural light of Almighty God that's getting you to a place where fulfilling the plans that God has for you, that other people, they're trying to get their plans worked out, but they're even groping around to get those plans worked out. And it doesn't make any sense to them. And sometimes they can get to a point where they say, oh, I can see the light at the end of the tunnel. But then there's still more things that they have to do afterwards. We're made in the image of God to do things, supernatural demonstration of God's power to do eternal deeds that affect the life even now. Jesus placed us far above, and this is the beauty about being a Christian in Christ, far above all things. Let's take a look, and I'll just read it for you very quickly. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 through 10. And he made you alive. That's the injection, the power of the Holy Spirit, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, no control, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. Who here this week has seen sons and daughters working in the power of disobedience? Yeah, they're there. Among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lusts of the flesh. These are the things that they have nothing, they cannot overcome these things, dead people in Christ. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and there's more than just sexual desires, there's all kinds of desires. There's all kinds of lusts, and there's all kinds of things that present themselves in the natural under the guidance of Satan's satanic power, of the flesh and of the mind. It's not just the flesh, it's the mind. What you think, you become. What you look at long enough, you become. What you hear long enough, you will begin to demonstrate it through your life. Thank God for the Word of God. Praise God. Fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. But God, thank God, boy, I tell you, thank God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses. Thank God for his faithfulness. Would you want to resurrect someone and talk to someone who is dead? Well, God has the capacity to do that because he did each one of us. We were dead in our spirit man. That's why we were going to hell. We were dead. No fight. We're just gone. We're going. In the deadness of our sins and our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace have you been saved. And raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, chill out, not of works. You can't do anything to make God love you anymore. He already loves you as much as he's ever going to, and you don't have to worry about working to get saved because he's already done it. It was Jesus' work, not ours. Not of works, lest anyone should boast. And I tell you what, if it was any one of us, wouldn't we be boasting? Well, I did this and I got this person saved. I did this and I died on the cross. And it's because of me that, you know, we're starting this congregational, denominational, hermeneutical, whatever. No. God gets the glory. For we, and this is beautiful, for we are his workmanship. He created us brand new. So we're his workmanship. Supernatural people in a body, a jar of clay, created in Christ for good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. You know where you're going. We need to know where we're going. If you don't know where you're going this morning, just ask God to open up your eyes and what he wants you to do. You know, the demonstrations of what he's talking about are things that are eternal, and they have to do with not building cities. Christ, you know, when he was asked the question by his disciples in the first chapter of Acts, he said, they were asking, well, when are you going to build all this stuff so we can get involved and I can sit at your right hand? And I'm the greater one, of course. I can sit closer to Christ and people will follow you, yeah, but they'll follow me too. He says, not for you to know the times and seasons. They're like little kids. Aren't we all sometimes when we see the bigger picture? He says, not for you to know the times or the seasons. But he gave him a direction. He says, go over there and go and wait until you're endued with the power from on high and you'll be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then you'll be my witnesses. Just what I am, you'll be doing. We can't step ahead of God, and we can't create our own plans. Who here has created and, oh, God, have mercy on me. He did and he does. Who here has created your own plans to do something for, thank you, Michael, to do something for God, man? And at the end of it, if God doesn't build a house, it ain't going anywhere. It's going to sink. It'll be wiped out unless God builds it. And what God builds is eternity, in eternity. What was the focus on when he said, go and wait? When they got what Jesus said they would receive, the Holy Ghost, what was the first thing that happened on the day of Pentecost besides the praise and the worship and the tongues? What went on? People. People were the beginnings of what God was really after. It's people. Demonstrating the power of God in people. And then they, in turn, becoming Christians, empowered with God, and not walking around like mere men going aimlessly here and there, but having supernatural ability to go and do the same. It's not that you don't, you got to go to a desert to find yourself and ask God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. He can do it in your bedroom. He can do it on the toilet. Pardon my expression. Think about that one. I know it sounds pretty crass, but he can baptize you in the Holy Ghost anywhere. It's so important that we have the Holy Spirit. Important is this. Being and living a supernatural life in Christ is the only thing, and I had this underlined, is the only thing that will transform and change our world. You know, we had prayer this morning for the farmers, for the situation, for the rain. Only God is able to transform something where there's nothing happening and where there's death and where there's a lot of agony going on with people. The other thing is that in Christ, we are the only hope for this world because the living Word is in us because we're reading God's Word and He's explaining it to us. He's teaching us His Word. The power also of the Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is in us. And the supernatural deeds we perform are to the glory of God. There are things yet that each one of us are going to be doing, even when we step out of this auditorium this morning, that God is going to do the supernatural. He's just waiting for you to catch on and to latch on to Him for the next step, what you need to be doing. And it's we're the only ones that will cause everything in this world to triumph over sin, because the only thing that can triumph over sin is those in Christ through His anointing. Am I preaching next week? Yes. Okay. I had a hunch I was. Yeah. Well, the thing is, I was going to get it. It's too far gone now, the time. But I'll put part three next week. I'm trying to be nice to you guys because I could keep you here for a while if you want. You don't. Okay. You know, when it gets real quiet, it's like in Vanuatu when you say, oh, no, 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 no. You know, they want you to go on. But here it's like, quiet. Okay, it's time to go. Jesus. Boy, we need all Holy Ghost night prayer meetings. She's still says, not in my place, please. You probably would do that. Anyway, next week, I want us to take a look at salvation, healing, deliverance, abundant life belongs to all who believe. And there's a way that we need to see this from before it happens in a person and then after it happens in a person. But you learn, and we've learned also, but you learn is that you have to be in a position to do something for God to work through you, to touch the one that you're wanting, that God sent you to. It's like with your son. It's like the whole thing. God set you up to do all of that, and you're thinking, wow, it was a download. Bang, 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 bang. And then he works it out. It's in here, and it's in here. But you have to walk through it, don't you? In time, God does it step by step by step. And it's not something that you can say, okay, the next step is, because the next step may not be in joint, 1, 2, 3, 4. He might want to move 5 up. this one has to be done now. Because there was a young fella talking about the Bible. Didn't fit in. So God knows how to do things. Wonderful counselor. Mighty God. Everlasting Father. Prince of Shalom. Amen. Father, this morning we just pray and we thank you for your word. Thank you for life, Lord God, that we live in this in the day and age. We have been called for such a time as this in our city, Lord. Cause us to move out into the highways and byways, Lord, to look for those, Father God, who are just living so far below, Lord God, the way you've created them, and to have your heart of compassion for them, Lord, not just to have it, but to do something about it, Lord, and use it to bring others to a saving knowledge, to deliver them, Lord God, for the things that they're suffering in. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' precious name. Amen.